Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, we want to face the issues. May I remind us, we have multitudes of issues facing your life and my life, facing society in general, facing the world also, but more particularly as we think about the issues that are facing America and where we're going, especially where America's headed, prophetically speaking, where the world is going, based on the Word of God and the eschatological text, and around the world, as we recognize that God is sovereign, God's still on the throne, God still has this old world in His hand. He's not turned it loose yet, and nor shall He. May I remind us, as we face the issues, this is a listener participation program. And in case you do not follow that, that means you have the opportunity to call in, discuss the issues, join in the dialogue, the discussion that I'm having each day, or you can have your own issue, your own question, theological, doctrinal, biblical, or it may be what some call political or other issues, social issues, etc. We have multitudes of those issues facing society today, all the way from the open bathroom to the sodomite movement, the movement to destroy the Christians' witness in the America and around the world, to nullify the voice of the Christian. But may I remind us, from a biblical worldview, you and I as believers, and I believe I'm talking with a Christian audience for the most part, you and I as believers have the constitutional right, the religious liberties, and first of all, the God-given right to take a stand on issues and to do so with truth, in love, but be absolutely direct and forceful as to what the Word of God says, realizing that God the Holy Spirit has the opportunity then to open the hearts and the lives of those that hear us, to move on their lives, motivate them to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And for we as believers, we need to recognize that Jesus Christ Himself said, "Ye are the salt of the world. Ye are the light of the world." May I remind us, light inside a closet has no value. Salt in the salt shaker has no value. So we need to get out of the salt shaker, and we need to get out of the closet and be salt and light in the society in which we're living today. You can call us, by the way, at 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Have an exciting program ready for us today. And I am delighted to be able to bring to you, and we'll do that in a moment, a theological, eschatological, prophetic study on the question of war with Russia. Is there a coming war with Russia? Will America be involved in a war with Russia? Will Russia be a global enemy and make war on a global scale? And if so, where is that found in the Scripture? How can we validate that in the Word of God? What does the Scripture say about it? But before we get into that, let me do a little housekeeping, as I call it, with two or three things. First of all, may I remind us, as we face the issues, we do so with the sword of the Word, that is the Scripture, the Word of God, as the powerful tool in the hands that God's given us, that we might be able to use it, to wield it, to discuss it, and to allow God through the Holy Spirit to speak to hearts and the lives of men and women, boys and girls. So Jesus Himself said, "Thy word is truth." Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, That it's not just a matter of saying you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, but if you continue in my word, if you're constantly dwelling in, staying in the word of God, studying the word of God in context, verse by verse, word for word, chapter by chapter, book by book, as we stay in the word, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth is not something that is to be watered down. Truth is not something that is to be partial, but it is in totality. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. God does not make an error. God does not make an error. God does not stumble when he says something, but he wants us to understand the truth. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question.
Yes. Is it me that you're talking to?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I have something that's been heavy on my mind for years, and I have a relative, and I can't tell my name because of that. I live in Florida. And
that's all right. Go right ahead.
Okay. His family attends a church for the last 20 years that truly believes that God, Jesus is not God, that he's only the Son of God. That's how they address him. Now, I don't believe that. I've never believed it. I found plenty of scripture that backs up the fact that he is God. And I know, I believe that's what the teaching is among fundamental Christians and evangelical Christians. Do you agree with that Jesus is God?
Absolutely, 100%. He is 100% God and 100% man. By the way, you need not to identify it, but may I simply hasten to say that your relative is either involved in a Mormon Christian cult or a Jehovah Christian cult, because
they don't call themselves that. They just, I think my personal opinion, and that's just an opinion, is that the pastor has kind of done what you would call, I would call a potpourri of different beliefs among different denominations and different cult groups, and brought them into his teaching.
Well, you're probably right, because more than likely he is in a locale or a church or a congregation where he doesn't want to offend anybody. He tries to appease everybody. And may I simply say, and I don't need to know who it is, don't want to know who it is, he either needs to get saved or go back to studying the Word and find out what the Scripture says. Jesus Christ is not just the Son of God. He is God come in the flesh. It is referred to as God incarnate. You study Luke chapter 1, verse 20, chapter 1, verse 26 through verse 33, and you find that the Virgin Mary conceived, and she did so as the Holy Spirit of God came upon her.
Right.
And the scripture says that thing is within you is of God. It is talking about God come in the flesh.
1:1. Yes. I mean, there's so much scripture. Jesus even said, before Abraham, I am.
John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. Absolutely.
All the scripture that is in the scripture, and these people study the scriptures like anything I've ever seen. I mean, they're in the scriptures, and they spend all day Sunday, Wednesday, and they have a fellowship where they kind of withhold themselves from the world. They isolate themselves from worldly things, and which I don't agree with either, because you can't reach people if you don't go out and be light and salt.
But you have just given some of the parameters and some of the identifying markers of what would generally be referred to as a cult. I do not know.
Okay.
It may have a denominational name, but it is a cult.
Yeah.
You need to pray seriously.
No denomination at all.
You need to
Pentecostal, but that's,
well,
you need
to pray seriously that God would lead them out and be part of the help.
For years, and I mean years, I went to visit this church for a while, and he had me convinced, and this was years ago, and I just couldn't deal with it. So I stood up in the congregation, and I spoke to the pastor. I even asked the pastor personally and mentioned scripture, how do you explain this and that, and I just got talked around circles. So I quit going, but my brother is not given up on. I shouldn't have said that, but he's not given up on me. He just because I'm not in a local church right now, because I'm having a transition in that matter, but he is not given up, and his wife, you know, they came to me, and I asked them that question directly because it was kind of, you know, waltzed around, and they did admit that Jesus Christ is, I said, I want to know for sure, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God or not? And they said, no, that he is only the Son of God. He is not God.
Okay. Well, that's one of the key markers. In fact, I've said down through the years for the past 50-plus years, I've said one of the first things that you make a beeline to when you're dealing with a cult and or an aberrant denomination, and you
right.
want to know where they stand theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, you ask the question, who is Jesus Christ? If Jesus
right.
Christ is any less than 100% God and 100% man, he is the theanthropic person, it's referred to theologically speaking, which is the hypostatic union, that's the welding together indissolubly of 100% God and 100% man,
he's
with no diminution of either.
God, and he's
absolutely
incarnate. He's
absolutely in Colossians 2:9 the Apostle Paul said he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yes, exactly.
It is,
and I believe every word in the gospel.
Amen.
But
You're completely correct, and I do appreciate you voicing and verbalizing that call and your heartfelt interest and passion and concern for your family member. And so
yes.
I'll be praying that God will deliver them, that he will give you strength. And may I encourage you with one other word before we go? Let me just
okay.
say, don't stay out of a church. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, New Testament church that you can study the Word, where the Word is proclaimed without error, and that you can be comfortable in studying the Word, knowing the Word,
right.
and being drawn closer to the Lord through the preached Word.
I've been a Christian for over 40 years. I have a very deep, emotional, intimate, spiritual relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I just started a Bible study, so I'm not falling away from the Lord by not going to church, but I do need to be in fellowship. I understand that. The Word says that. Can I ask you a quick question, though? In reference to the fact that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are three separate persons in one God, when I pray, should I be praying? Is it okay to, sometimes I feel confused because I pray to Jesus a lot of times, and then I pray to the Holy Spirit a lot of times and talk to him.
Let me do a polite correction for you, and I pray that you will take it in the realm that it is given in. We do not have three gods. We serve one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triunity. We call it the Trinity. The better term is the triunity
right.
of the Godhead.
Right.
When we pray to God through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right?
The word through
okay.
is the little Greek word dia, which means the access, the avenue. The only way
okay.
we have access to God is through Jesus
it's
Christ,
through
the Son of God.
Right.
And when
okay.
Jesus Christ left this earth in John, the 14th chapter, he said, I'm going to send you a comforter. That is the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
So when God the Son went back to heaven, God the Holy Spirit came. He indwells every child of God. He is the one that gives the insight, the motivation, the wisdom for us to carry out the work that God's called us to. But when we
right.
pray, we pray to God, and we pray to him through Jesus Christ.
So is it wrong for me to call upon Jesus to heal me or to help me in certain situations?
You can call upon, I'm not saying that it's cardinal doctrine that you've made an error in, no. But when we ask him, we're asking God to heal us, and we're asking him in the name of Jesus. It
okay.
is Jesus that there's the power. It's Jesus that there's the victory. It's through Jesus that we have all that God has for us. It's through Jesus, carried out through God the Holy Spirit.
I came into the idea that if I was just praying to God, that I was neglecting Jesus. And that I'm
no.
hearing so much teaching about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And
well, we have so many people that want to divide up the body of the Godhead. We find too many
yes.
people that's wanting to make three. In fact, that's one of the major things that Islam makes fun of Christians on. They say that we're polytheistic, that we have multiple gods
right.
because we believe
oh,
in the
yes.
Holy Spirit. But we're serving one God manifested in three personages, God the Father,
okay.
God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Okay, so I pray that that's a blessing to you.
God,
through Jesus Christ.
Father, and I pray for my family. I pray, you know, I pray for so many. I talk to the Lord all day long. I mean,
that's wonderful.
I talk to the Holy Spirit. Now, is that wrong for me to ask the Holy Spirit to give
No place in the Scripture does it give us the authority, the directive, to pray to the Holy Spirit and to worship the Holy Spirit. We're to worship God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is the triunity of the Godhead, but it's one God. That's the thing that we need to understand.
But I think that since He's living in me and He's with me always, that I can...
But who is He? Who is He? Who is He? He is God.
He is the Holy
So when we talk, when we talk to, when we talk to God the Father, we're talking to God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But it is God. When the Jesus disciples said, "How should we pray? Our Father, which art in heaven," and that gave the model for the prayer. We're talking to God because of a relationship that we have to Him through Jesus Christ. The only way that we have that relationship is by saying yes to Jesus Christ. Then we have entrance before the throne of God to talk to God, God the Father, in our daily prayers. And so I pray that you'll keep on being faithful, and I do appreciate you calling, and I'll be praying for your relative that God will give you the wisdom to help move and motivate in their lives to get them out of the cult. Thank you so much for calling, and God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful worship day on Sunday. Thank you so much. I'm delighted that the lady called there. You could tell there was confusion and frustration on her part in relationship to what she's been experiencing, what she's been hearing. But I pray today that as we think on the subject of the coming war with Russia, and if you have any questions or comments, other things that you'd like to jump in on, that's wonderful. It's 401-1413. Be delighted to do so. But may I remind us by way of some words of introduction, we're watching the what I call the fulfillment of prophetic scripture just jumping off the pages by way of the newspaper and the radio and the television every day. The scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 24 that in the last days, and we're living in the last of the last days, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, in the last days, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be wars, and the word rumors means rumblings of wars. Today, I believe we're witnessing the fulfillment of biblical prophecy when we see conflicts. And I'll just name a few of them. In fact, I've said to people, you can take a globe and spin that globe, close your eyes, spin the globe, put your index finger on any place around the globe that you'd like to, and chances are very, very good it's in a region or location or an area where there's some type of military conflict or conflict between nations or between ethnics of different nationalities, etc. But when we look at what's happening around the globe today, we have conflict in Iraq, Iran, Egypt, Turkey, Syria, North Korea, all over the continent of Africa. We're having major, major battles, and the battle there primarily is with Islam. We have the constant attacks against Israel. There is a major, major desire to wipe off the face of the globe the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel, and terrorist attacks taking place globally. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that this is not taking God by surprise. God is sovereign. God's sitting back on in His throne, and He's not looking down and saying, I wonder what these folks on earth are doing. I wonder why they're doing that. Fully is aware of what's taking place. He's not being taken aback by any of it. He's sovereignly in control. And may I remind us, when we understand that May 15, 1948, Israel became a nation again, reconstituted after 2,500 years of being in diaspora, that is, being around the globe, dispersed, and they came back together as the constitutional nation, May 15, 1948. First time in the history of the world that's ever happened. After 2,500 years of being no nation, of becoming a nation once again. And by the way, it's not the land of the Palestinians. It's the land of the Israelis. It's the land of the Jew. God gave it to them. It's in the Abrahamic covenant. God gave them the land, the seed, and the promise. And may I remind us, there's a wonderful study, by the way, in that, with the question, who owns the land? Israel owns the land. But around the globe, and especially out of the nations, the ten-horned dictators that make up the majority of the UN, and by the way, the United States of America is paying the bulk of the operation of the UN, and yet majority of those in the UN hate America and will do anything to destroy the United States of America. But Russia today is not our friend. And may I remind us that while Hillary Clinton in the campaign trail has been making fun of Donald Trump about his statement about Vladimir Putin and about his leadership for Russia and how 82% of the people in Russia admire him and look at him as a strong leader. At the same time, without being notification to the nation, John Kerry, the Secretary of State, is negotiating behind the scenes with some of Putin's underlings to have some kind of treaty that will take place and has supposedly ever since Monday been in place in Syria. It's not held very well, but they were negotiating with him on the basis of good faith and yet making fun of Donald Trump because he was talking about as a negotiator, as a businessman, he can make a deal. And they were laughing at him for saying that because it was dealing with Vladimir Putin. May I remind us, the Cold War with Russia has never ended. It simply morphed into a more peaceful front, but the Cold War has never ended. Russia today controls many of the Islamic nations around the globe. These Islamic nations hate the United States of America. And may I simply insert this thought? I believe Putin is a genius when it comes to, and he's a former KGB agent. He's a Gestapo, if you will, and he's never changed his stripes. He's never changed his colors, but he's a genius in playing both friend and foe. He's playing America like a fiddle. He's playing his foes by force and by coercion. May I remind us, but one day, the Russian leader, Vladimir Putin and others, Russia, will stand tall and will openly attack Israel with five other nations. And the war then will absolutely proliferate and go global. May I remind us the classic text for that, telling us that in the scripture, and we'll have time to get in, open up some introductory thoughts, and leave it with you to finish the study today. But may I remind us, the classic text for that is Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, if you understand, and I'm not trying to say this to be overly elementary, but Ezekiel 37 comes before 38 and 39. In Ezekiel 37, it was the prophetic text that God had given with the future prophecy of the coming together of the nation of Israel to be reconstituted. The Valley of Dry Bones in the study of Ezekiel 37. Those dry bones did stand up. Those dry bones stood up, and sinew was put on the bones, and flesh and muscle was put on the bones. And that is the picture that we see today with the nation of Israel. But in Ezekiel 38 and 39, a wonderful study on the coming global war with Russia. And this global war with Russia will be a coming global war with Russia and the Islamic invasion. Let me just simply hastily say this. Russia today has a military force made up of about 51% Islamics, 51%. And ultimately, they're going to lead, and we'll read the text in a moment, Russia will lead five predominantly Islamic nations to come against the nation of Israel, and then it will be proliferated in a global battle, and America is committed to taking care of and protecting the nation of Israel. So America will be drawn into that global battle with the nation of Russia and five Islamic nations. I believe we have Jeff on the line. Jeff, go ahead with your question, sir.
Yeah, just a couple quick comments. As far as deity for the anointed one, the Messiah, Mashiach, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, two of those titles, and the Messiah has written the titles, and they're all interchangeable with the Father because they're one. But two of the titles are El Gabor, God Mighty or Mighty God, and Father of Eternity or Eternal Father. And only deity could have titles like this, even though there was a near fulfillment of Isaiah 9, 5, and 6, and two of Isaiah's children, or for one of them, Mahershala Hashbaz.
Absolutely, you're correct.
And then in Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39, the bones come together, and there's flesh and sinew and muscle, but the spirit hasn't been poured out yet. So that it's an already but not yet scenario, inaugurated but not fully consummated yet, but it's in the process.
In other words, the physicality is there, but the spirituality is not. You're right on target, brother. That's good.
For the most part. Hey, thank you.
Thank you for your call. God bless you. Have a blessed day. Let me read a few verses in Ezekiel 38 that will set the pace, and then I can make a few brief introductory and closing comments for your edification today. I pray that it's been a blessing. And the scripture says in Ezekiel 38, I'll read the first several verses, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, prophesy against him. Notice prophesy against him, indicating a personage, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all them that clothed with thee all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shields and helmets, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Tamogar and the north quarters and all the band, his band, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of the many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, etc., etc. I read through verse 8 in Ezekiel chapter 38. May I remind us that there is a looming battle with the nation of Russia. Many people have said that we need to look at Russia now as a defanged, harmless nation. Not so. According to the scripture, we have not heard the last of Russia. As recorded in this chapter, in chapter 38 and 39, the prime minister of Russia has risen to power. He is a staunch former KGB agent, and may I remind us, he is a communist with a desire to return to what has been called the Cold War era. Very soon Russia will actively become aggressive against the West. We have this aggression within recent stands in the UN. Anything that you see in the UN where Russia's involved, Russia will always vote against the United States of America. May I remind us that today, approximately 51% of the Russian military is made up of Islamics, Muslims. May I remind us, Russia has war tanks on the coast of the Mediterranean outside of Syria. Russia is wedded at the hip to Iran and Syria. May I remind us, these nations that will come against the nation of Israel and ultimately against America are the emissaries of Satan himself, and will absolutely come alive when Russia is the leader of the five nations. Some of those allies that are involved, may I just very briefly say, Persia, that is old Iran, and may I remind us that I believe that Persia will be amalgamated with Iraq, ultimately with the domination of Iran, which is old Persia coming back to life, if you will. Iran is just waiting, counting the days until the U.S. military forces are totally out, where they can be involved in the fellowship, if you will, of Russia. Ethiopia is one that's mentioned in the first several verses. In fact, in verse 5 and verse 6 in the biblical text in Ezekiel 38. Ethiopia is modern Sudan with a population of about 35 million. It is a Muslim-dominated nation. Libya also is mentioned, which is known by the same name today, has close ties with Israel. In fact, when you go back and you do the research, you find that Libya has always been a puppet state of Russia. Today, Libya is basically what you could call the international world headquarters of ISIS, and that is as a result of the Secretary of State and the leadership in the White House in the past several years defanging and destroying Muammar Gaddafi, and left it vacuous and void, and now it's filled with the Islamic terrorists known as ISIS. May I remind us that not only do we see Ethiopia and Sudan and Libya, but may I remind us also that Germany is one of those that's mentioned in the 38th chapter in verse 5 and 6 of the book of Ezekiel. Germany, by the way, I don't know if you've kept up with the news today. Germany today promotes non-Islamic women wearing hijabs, or hijabs, however you want to pronounce it. Enjoy the difference, starts tolerance, says the blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman in a new TV ad that's running in Germany that appears in a Muslim head covering. The 18-second ad encourages German women to embrace tolerance by wearing the hijab for a show of camaraderie with the Muslims in the nation of Germany. Germany today is almost totally infiltrated with Islamics. Germany has allowed somewhere between 1.5 million and 2 million Muslim migrants to flow across its borders in less than 2 years, which is unprecedented for any nation around the globe. May I remind us, we are watching the coming together of Russia's leadership with the control of five nations, and the five nations mentioned in Ezekiel 38, verses 5 and 6 in particular, will be nations that are controlled by, are dominated by, are infiltrated by, with leadership coming out of Islam. So not only is it a global Russian attack, but it's a global Russian Islamic invasion that will be a global on a global basis, and America will be drawn into it. We need to pray up, look up, and lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining in today. We pray that the brief discussion has been a blessing and a challenge to you. Get in the Word, study Ezekiel 38 and 39, and allow God to speak to your heart. Challenge us to be salt and light in the day in which we're living.